Gospel according to St. John chapter 20. I would like us to read from the verse number 19 to the end of this chapter. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad, when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and trust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and trust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, Because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Perhaps we can leave our prayer time for the closing of this service, since the time is limited, and we try to share what we have or what the Lord has provided for us in a way that no one would be deprived, and obviously no one will have too much. At least I hope so. This last verse in this chapter, chapter 31, that these are written, these events, these things, these records are recorded down that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, we might have life through his name. These are written. The other words and the other things that happened or did not happen and are written in other books, are they also written that we might believe in the Son of God, or that we might believe something else that is not the teaching of the Son of God? And sometimes it's a difficult thing for us to take sufficient time to discern how much we should be separated from the world. Should we rejoice when they rejoice? Should we be sad when they are sad? How much we should share with them, and how much we should keep ourselves from falling under the influence of the world? How many people this day, in one way or another, mark the day of the resurrection of our Lord? And how many will do that in any other way but in the way that the Bible is teaching us to do? We might see somewhere artistic pictures, seeing a human image above the open tomb. Gleaming brightly. First, the image is quite unlikely to be the image of the Lord. Second, none of the people ever had seen our Lord Jesus Christ coming out of the grave. It's just a story. Just imagination of the people. And whenever the people are so eager to display their imagination, I take that as a manifestation of their inward emptiness. If they are filled with the Word of God, they need nothing in addition. This is just a short passage of all that we have recorded in the book. And it's obvious that not everything has been recorded. The things that have clear gospel message in them are recorded. All the other details are left out as unnecessary for delivering a clear gospel message. So the Lord, by His omnipotent Spirit, has guided the hands of those that faithfully recorded the things that the Lord wanted them to record. The first day, and it was not the first day early in the morning, when the disciples, as a group, first time have seen our Lord Jesus after the resurrection. Just as His deepest, most agonizing suffering on the cross remained a mystery and a secret for the humanity, darkness fell down on the earth, and the people only could see that something awful, something terrible, and perhaps something wonderful happened at that time. The earth was shaking. I would say that that's a clear indication that whatever is taking place there, the Almighty is doing that. In the same degree, if I should say that way, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is a mystery. The Apostle Paul is arguing with some of the people that obviously had some religious aspects and yet had difficulty believing that there will be resurrection of the dead in the end. Arguing with them, the Apostle said, "The seed that you cast into the ground is not going to rise. You are never again going to see that seed being the seed of that plant. That seed will die." Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ also talked about that and said that that seed will die. And then God gives the shape and the form to the new plant that is growing from the seed as He will. Well, that is an explanation, but that is also telling us that it's a mystery and it's completely in God's power. And the unbelief of the humanity is not going to change the will of God. The Lord is not going to change His word to accommodate faithlessness of the people. We know that the empty tomb was noticed by the women that came to the sepulchre early in the morning, even before the dawning. And we find the record in one of the gospel books that before the daylight, an angel came. And his appearance was so frightening to the soldiers that kept guard on the tomb, at the tomb, that they became like dead, shocked for fear. And the angel rolled away the stone and sat on the stone, as if that was something really not that heavy, just a little thing to move away. And then he sat on that stone. Here we read that that same day in the evening, the disciples were together. They probably, I would think so, they probably had already that day very emotional and stirring up discussions. Did the Lord arise or not? What happened? The women said that they did see him. He talked to them. But they just couldn't see the Lord. Why was it so difficult for the disciples of the Lord, for the men, to accept the testimony of the women? Not only for Thomas, it was difficult to accept the testimony of all of them. He just couldn't take it. Why was it so difficult? Well, if you think from our experiences in smaller things than this, when we really firmly believe something and we have great expectations, and then all of a sudden all of our expectations crumbled, and what we have believed seemed to be unreal, and we think, oh no, I was wrong. How could I ever believe something like that? Look what happened. Quite the opposite. And then a little bit later we receive a testimony from somebody else. What you initially believed was the truth, the fact. And your feeling right now is not reality. It's very hard to switch back and forth from great expectations to great disappointment and then back to firm belief that our expectations were real, at least within the frame of Jesus Christ or Jesus of Nazareth being the Son of the Almighty God, the Messiah, the Redeemer, and the Lord. Here we read that the disciples were together, the doors were closed for fear of the Jews, so I would say they were locked. And at one moment, right there in their midst, our Lord Jesus Christ appeared. There he was standing, waiting for a moment that all of their eyes be focused on him. How necessary it is in our struggles, when we wonder what is the right way, what we should believe, what we should not believe, just to look at the Lord and see the reality. To become aware of the fact that the simple faith in the Lord Jesus Christ in itself, that faith has much more reality than everything else that our hands can touch or handle in this life. I'd like to repeat that. It is important for us to realize that in true and simple faith in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there is more reality, more substance than in anything material, physical, that we can see or feel or touch in this world. See, all of that we see, all the material things will be burned up at the time of the Lord's coming, but the true faith will be fulfilled. So the Lord is there in their midst, and one after another the disciples just look. This person looks exactly like the Lord Jesus Christ. And they wonder for a moment what it is. And then the Lord said unto them, "Peace unto you." Well, that takes us back to the... Is that chapter 14 in John? "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." When he said peace unto you, their faith start coming back. They realize that this must be the Lord. No one else could say these words at the same time perform the deed. Say the words peace unto you, and then outpour that peace into the hearts of those that believe his word. But he had a proof. He showed unto them his hands and his side. He is the one that was crucified, that died on the cross. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Now I think that these words have multiple meaning and significance. There are many religions. There are many groups of people. They all believe something. They all worship something. But in all of the religions of this world, in all the so-called scientific teachings, in all the political groups, ethnic groups, military formations, in my limited search, I did not find another group, another teaching that would teach that the Creator of life would die for his creature. We just don't find that. The religions of the ancient people reveal that their idols or their gods are greater than the people, at least in their imagination, at least they are presented that way. They are greater than the people that worship them in their sinfulness, in their wickedness, in their filth, in their evil doing. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ died in order to give life to those that believe. So he showed them the signs of his suffering and death on the cross. Then they saw that it is the Lord. Well, they saw him physically at the moment when they looked at him as he appeared in their midst. But now they see him as the Lord, as the one that has overcome death, and the one that is trying to enslave us to death. Then said the Lord Jesus to them again, "Peace unto you." Well, that's wonderful. I think at this time they have peace. Not only peace, they have joy. The Lord is risen, and they are filled with expectation. What are going to be his directions, his instruction, his words? What is he expecting them to do? And I would think that they must have been very eager at that moment. Whatever he says, they will do. But the Lord says, His first commandment to those that believe in Him is peace. Well, now, let's think for a moment. Did not Paul the Apostle say that he had battle without and fear within? Did not he worry about the things? Especially the things that seem to be a good reason to worry. In one place, Paul is waiting or trying to meet another fellow believer, one of his companions, his helpers in the gospel work, and he just could not find him. And so Paul was worrying, or he feared what could have happened. And yet, the same apostle is thanking God who always gives us victory. So the Lord finds this to be, or is revealing to us, that His peace is very important for us. Now, what is His peace? He said, "Peace be unto you, my peace I give unto you. I give it not as the world giveth. Let not your heart be troubled." Didn't he say, the Lord himself said, that in the world you will have tribulation? Can someone suffering tribulation just cheer up and rejoice in that and say, "Oh, how wonderful, I lost everything"? Or, what a thrilling experience, this or that was called a brother in Christ, and now look, he turned back to sin and world. No. No, we cannot rejoice in that. We are not expected to rejoice in the things that are sad. However, the peace and the joy that the Lord giveth by His resurrection, the hope of the resurrection, is reminding us that all the difficulties, all the troubles, all the sufferings in this world are temporary. They will not last forever. He that keeps the word of God will endure forever. After he said to them second time, "Peace be unto you," he gave them the mission. He gave them their assignment. "As Father hath sent me, even so send I you." So that peace that he gave is not peace of sleeping. It's not a peace of lack of activity. Just relax and do nothing. To the contrary, it's a peace that makes us free from the fear of material losses, of physical suffering, of uncertainties. The Lord wants us to have His peace in our heart, and then just to go and proclaim the gospel. With our daily walk, our manners, our appearance, our words, our deeds. In order to arm His disciples with something that is so important, the whole armor of faith, the whole armor of God, or godliness. When He had said this, He breathed on them and saith unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." How many books are written on the second chapter of the book of Acts, the outpouring of the power of the Holy Spirit? How little has been said about this, what the Lord said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." "Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained." This is the gospel. It's not giving of God's authority to man apart from God. The apostles did not go from city to city, from town to village and so on, saying, everybody come here, we want to forgive some sins to some of you, and we will retain the sins of the others. I don't think it ever happened. It never will. When they proclaimed the words of the gospel, those that believed had their sins forgiven. If we keep the gospel back from the people, and we do not proclaim the whole truth of God, then what we are doing, we retain their sins. It does not necessarily mean that God will not or cannot save those to whom we are not going to witness, but we will be guilty of their blood. If the Lord has given us an opportunity to share the gospel in the way that the Lord has given to us, and we kept it back. So when he said, whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained, the Lord also pointed out how important it is for us to proclaim the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by walking in the new life, walking and living in Christ. Not all of the disciples, not all of the Christian believers are great preachers. Not all were miracle doers. Not all of them were speaking in a number of foreign languages. But all of them had that part to walk in the new life in Christ, to live in true godliness, to be separated from the world, with their own life to show that they despise vanity and pride, that they reject the falsehood and emptiness that is in the world, that they do not believe in the promises of the master deceiver. Look at this world and all the kingdoms and their glory. All this I'm going to give thee. Just fall down and worship me. That's something that he was striving for, to gain all that glory. And he just could not, because the power of God is putting men on the thrones of the kingdoms of the world and removing them from the thrones. So the Lord is giving that power to everyone who, with his or her whole heart, turned to the Lord and believed his word. The Lord is giving that power to proclaim the remission of sins to those that believe in Christ, and to proclaim that whosoever will not believe in Christ remaineth under the condemnation. For every sin is condemned by the word of God. Well, Thomas, one of the 12, was not there when the Lord revealed himself to the disciples, and the other disciples said unto him, Thomas, you were not here. The Lord appeared unto us, and this is how he appeared, and this is what he said, and that's what he did, and so on. It's sure and positive that the Lord is risen. He gave us to receive his Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, and he gave us what we are going to do. And Thomas said, no. No way. I just won't believe that. Nothing. Until I myself can touch and see. Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and trust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Now that's a decision. That's a decision. Did Thomas lie later on? Or did he go against his own words when the Lord appeared there and he said, Thomas, here's your opportunity. Make your test. Here am I. Submitting to your test. Did Thomas do any of those things that he wanted? He only looked. I don't think he touched anything. I think he was, his heart was pricked by the words of God. Because when Thomas said this to the disciples, the Lord was not physically present there, apparently, or at least they didn't see him. And by these words that the Lord said, Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and trust it into my side, and be not faithless but believing. I think that these words told Thomas not only that this really is the Lord Jesus Christ, but also that the Lord in his spirit was present there when Thomas said to the other disciples, I'm not going to believe. We remember when Nathanael came to meet the Lord first time, and the Lord said, here comes the true Israelite in whom there is no guile. And Nathanael said, how do you know me? Now there are some speculations and opinions. What could have been done by Nathanael under the fig tree? What was he doing there? And some songwriter said that he was praying and weeping. I don't know for sure. It's not in the scripture what he did. Whatever he did, the Lord saw him. That's the fact. That's the important thing. And when Nathanael heard these words, that the Lord, by seeing Nathanael under the fig tree, when Nathanael was not aware that the Lord Jesus of Nazareth is watching him closely, by these words, Nathanael knew that the Lord Jesus is the Son of God, the King of Israel, the Messiah, the Redeemer. If we could have that awareness in our faith all the time, if we could keep that awareness that the Lord Jesus Christ, by His Spirit, is watching us closely all the time, whether we do good things or bad things, our life would be greatly improved and transformed. We would be much closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. If we could but keep that in our mind and heart, that He is watching us, that He knows exactly what we are doing all the time. Well, Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. And then the Lord said, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. These words do not mean that our faith is blind. No. These words tell us that the true faith in Christ has the gift of seeing what is invisible to the physical sight. True faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is blessed with that insight into the perfect law of liberty that God the Father has made us free in Christ our Lord and Savior. And again, these closing verses tell us many other signs truly, in reality, in truth, our Lord Jesus did in the presence of His disciples. Last couple Sundays I shared with you about the false miracles and lying wonders and so on. And I believe that there are many of those in today's world. Here we have recorded some of the true miracles that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did. A wonderful miracle of appearing as the resurrected Lord. But before that resurrection, there was suffering and death. Our Lord did not resurrect from nothing. He was resurrected from the grave. He was willing to die for us and to suffer such an agonizing death, not only suffering physical and perhaps soul suffering because of the hatred and evil doing of the people around him, but also suffering the judgment of God against the sins of all those, or the sinfulness of all those that will ever or have ever believed and will believe on him, in him. These are written that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing we might have life through his name. About this question, there are many discussions, whether that life is secured forever or not secured forever. Does that mean once one has been redeemed and turned to the Lord, is safe forever, no matter what the rest of his life is and so on? It seemed to me that human beings are often deceived by trying to look into the mysteries of God and forgetting their duty and their obligation to do what God has given them to do. An answer to doctrinal disputes and arguments, I could just humbly and surely peacefully submit that in Christ everyone is secured. There is no death in Christ. There is no loss in the Savior. In Christ we have our eternal security. In sin no one is secured. And everyone that is indulging on finding pleasure in sin is proving or showing that he in his heart has not retained or does not have at that time the hope of life everlasting. We just cannot move in two directions at the same time. May the Lord give us that gift and multiply that gift of his Spirit, which is new life in Christ and peace and joy and the proclamation of the salvation of Christ, for the day of judgment is coming. The resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is an affirmation and encouragement and giving us hope, not a hope that is maybe, maybe not, but an expectation that all those that are in Christ will experience that glorious and wonderful privilege of having their resurrected body that will be changed, new body that is capable of enjoying the joys of eternity. May the Lord bless his word and fill our needs, that we might also walk in Christ and fulfill his word by our daily walk. Amen.